Good morning, church. I want you to know I am so thankful to have you here. There's more of us here than I had dreamed would be because we're in a time of a really global challenge to a degree. And for that reason, I chose a lesson from John chapter 8 and verse 32. Where Jesus says, know the truth and the truth will make you free. The point that I would like to make on that particular sentiment actually applies to almost everything that there is. When we begin thinking about it, it will apply to purchasing cars, to getting operations, to getting our finances, making decisions spiritually, everything. We want to know what the truth really is. And Jesus, of course, is talking to the people in his day about spiritual things. What I'm going to do this morning is this lesson is particularly unusual because I'm taking three unrelated things and making an application. I just summarize this, not the title of it, but crooks, germs, and kooks. Because sometimes we get excited or fearful or how should I do this and should I watch out for that? Certainly, let me just say, and the middle of the lesson is going to be dealing with germs. I've had a cold for a month and a half. I've talked to my doctor. I said, do I need to be tested? He says, no, just take your vitamin C, avoid large crowds and all such as this. And so some of us will have a cold, some have allergies, and that's a different situation. But in the middle of the lesson, we'll deal with some of the health concerns and safety and things that really the Bible has to say about that. But just because it has to do with the area that caught my attention, I thought I want to deal with crooks and how various social attitudes affect us all. And so I just chose this first section I call, what's the truth about get rich quick? In the book of Proverbs, chapter 13 and down in verse 11, the wise man said, English Standard Version reading, wealth gained hastily, and the Hebrew says by vanity, will dwindle, and whoever gathers little by little will increase. So rather than, man, I just need big bucks and right now, well, generally that doesn't work out very well. He said, but you just make good choices, work hard, and spend less than you make. And so not outspending and making our lifestyle the determinant of what our future should be. In Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 20, and really a paraphrased version called The Message says, and you'll see by the way they render this, committed and persistent work pays off, but get-rich-quick schemes are ripoffs. So, well, there's something to it. I mean, that obviously, that's not how the Hebrew says literally. But we have a number of things in our society that are very popular. Wow, let's do this because we can make some big dollars. When we drive home, like in the evening, here is along the sign of the casino in Tacoma. You know, here's the Powerball and Gumball or whatever the other ball is, and zillions and zillions of dollars. Well, the interesting thing in Powerball, really all you have to do is pick numbers of five white balls and one red one, and man, you win whatever the current thing is, $292 million. The only problem is the chances of winning that is one in 292 million. And what gives me kind of a balance in life to visualize what does it mean to be have the odds of one in 292 million? Well, I like to picture, let's take almost the entire United States. I think we have 329 million. So you get almost everybody together. And just put us in one big circle and have an airplane fly overhead and drop a marble out of the window. What are the chances that it hits you? And the answer is one in 292 million, not real high odds. And then I got curious about it because we all hear that people win them and what happens with this or that. And I just chose some that really were notable to me. These are real names, real situations. I researched them. Bud Post won $16 million. I mean, you could find something to spend $16 million on. And 1 year later, he was $1 million in debt. I said, oh, man, how can you do that? How can you get that upside down that fast? Billy Harrell Jr. won $31 million, and it was gone in 2 years, and he suicided. Wow. Gerald Muswagon won $10 million and blew it. I can't imagine blowing $10 million. And then he suicided. Mike Carroll won $15 million. He was a garbage man before that time. And he blew it. And he had nothing. And he was trying to get his job back at being a garbage man. Hey, good times come and go, I guess. Janet Lee won $18 million, was bankrupt in 1 year. Alex and Rhoda Toth, $13 million jackpot in Florida, destitute in 15 years. They went down to nothing. It just took them longer to do it, but they ended up in the same place. Psalm 37 and in verse 25 said, I have been young and now am I old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. So as we think about ourselves, what's happening in our society? Hey, you know what? You can get a real deal on flying someplace in the airlines. And people say, yeah, I don't want to fly right now. We have some of our relatives, Tammy Miser, our niece and her daughter, had just prior decided, we're going to take a little trip. They're stuck in Australia for the time being. We'll see how that works out. You have to have papers. There's military guards out. You have to have papers in order to be allowed to go from one place to another. Not the kind of vacation you'd normally think about. How about the scammers and the hackers? Well, the reality is they're out to get you. Every week I get some kind of post, and I made a segment on one lesson about this, but it just works out this way, and then I'm going to apply it to the modern health issues that we have. And I'm just giving you kind of the headlines of email that I get. Here's supposed investors. Hi, my name is whatever it is, Abubahiben, and I have got something for you. We're looking to invest, and we just want to know how much money would you like? Except, you know, when they write their little emails, they have addresses, and so here's all the spaghetti. Down toward the end, if it's a foreign country, they have a country code. You can tell if it's from Canada. You can tell if it's from Sweden or wherever it is. And the one I got, they want to know, hey, they're interested in investing money, and would I like to partner with them? RU is at the end. Guess what that is the country code for? Supposedly the Arab investors, but what are they doing in Russia if they're legit? And this one was really amazing. He writes and they said, I'm a U.S. Army sergeant stationed in Syria, and I've got a business deal. Except you look at the end of the address, it's a Hungarian country code. What is a U.S. Army soldier stationed in Syria doing in Hungary? Maybe he's not legit. A supposed British lawyer has my inheritance, and I've got one of the printouts for that, so just in case, maybe they've mistaken me for you, and you need to get that inheritance, I'll show you what that is, except what it's a British lawyer with my inheritance. Well, what are they doing in Nigeria? Proverbs chapter 4 and in verse 16 says, they cannot sleep unless they do evil. They stay awake at night thinking, man, how can I get Dusty and Mike McCauley? And I think if I do it this way or that way. And like I said, I included this in one of a prior a lesson. But this is one of the true emails that I got. And here is my email address. The only thing they know is my email address. That's fairly easy to get. But I just want you to know I'm about to come into millions of dollars. All I got to do is write them. And they start by, hello, beneficiary. What does that tell me right there? They don't have a clue what my name is. All they got is my email because they got it from LinkedIn or someplace. And I thought, already I know you guys are crooks. You don't know me at all. And then when, if you look at, do not open the emails, you can actually get a little side window preview. Don't even open it, because if they open it, they know your email address is active. You just look at it in the preview pane. And so what I did, I look here and I thought, okay, it's to, oh, wait a minute. This says, it's not Paul, but to undisclosed recipients. Well, what does that mean? Well, they've sent them to a zillion other people hoping somebody will click on their nutty beneficiary scam. And so if they're really gullible and think, hey, I think somebody died and left me some money, they're going to jump in there. So it says, hello, beneficiary. And it says, be informed that you will receive MTCN. Well, I didn't know what that was. I had to look that up. And that's a money transfer control number. But already I can tell either he doesn't know how to speak English very well, because he's telling me be informed. I think grammatically that would be informed that you'll receive for pickup the $5,000, lowercase I, want you to confirm. I thought, wait a minute. He doesn't type much better than I do. What's going on with that? And so he just wants to make sure he's sending it to the right person, right? And so I just want you to confirm, because I'm going to send you $5,000 right off the top. All you got to do is confirm your full address and your name and the country and city and state and mobile cell number and your passport number. I mean, just, why don't you give me the bank PIN number? Well, he's going to ask for that, because why? Down here, the other thing is, if you're willing to accept that $5,000, he's got the rest of the $6 million to transfer at once through bank-to-bank wire transfer in your bank account. How's he get it in your bank account? Oh, you give him your bank account number. How are you going to get the $6 million in there? Man, I can't wait to reach this guy. I get $6.5 million just for sending him my true information. Boy, isn't that a relief? Well, you remember up at the top it says to undisclosed recipients? It is notable that I get the $6.5 million. And so do 10,000 other people get that same $6.5 million that somebody has left to them. Oh, my goodness. And so I researched the phone number. As you look at this phone number, it's an international phone number, and it has a plus 229. That's a West African number. So I think about, what relative of mine happens to be in West Africa? Don't know. Actually, they're not even named, but they're sending me $6.5 million. Well, that's just a scam. Because what they hope to get is one of two things. If you'll just click on the email, they know that your email address is active, and they can bundle it up and sell that along with 10,000 others. These are good emails, so I never click on them. Some people, unfortunately, think, man, I'm going to try this out. I'll start interacting. Maybe I get some money. Money does flow bank to bank, but the direction is not into your account. It is out of your account. And then one other thing that I don't even have up here that I came across just this morning, when we're talking about get rich quick and really unprofessional, unethical business practices, as I had gotten up early and I was doing some final touches. And of course, we've all been thoughtful about the coronavirus outbreak. And so I come across a guy and said, I've got 20,000 bottles of hand sanitizer. Now, what am I going to do with them? Well, that caught my attention. How'd he get 20,000 bottles of hand sanitizer? Well, come to find out, he does have 20,000 bottles. But what he did is when he had the first inkling of an outbreak, he went all around his area and he cleaned out the stores out of all the hand sanitizer, put it in his garage, and then he tries to sell them at inflated prices rather than what he would have gotten for $1.50. Now he's trying to sell for $20 and $30 a bottle. And you're probably aware that he particularly would put it on, you know, these sites like Amazon and eBay. And then the idea of price gouging during an emergency, man, both after complaints, at first Amazon and eBay were getting, you know, they get their cut of the action. They had enough customer complaints, they shut them down. So I said, well, now I got 20,000 bottles. And see, I was just doing a customer service. Oh, yeah, you buy them for $1.50 and sell them for $30. You're really blessing everybody. Well, if you really want to bless everybody, just give it away now. And so just be thoughtful of crooks and scams and things along that line. Because Proverbs 13 and verse 20 says, walk with the wise and you will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer for it. Jesus said again, John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Knowing the fact about how these crooks operate, just say, you know, I don't think I'm going to buy in to that crazy thing. Well, what's the truth about our safety, and what's the truth about our health? Because you get on one program, everybody's going to die. There's nobody going to be left on planet Earth, just, you know, bed bugs or something. And others have just a real casual cavalier. Oh, I don't think it's any big deal. Just like getting a summer cold and I'll be fine. And so sometimes commentators and health experts says probably the truth lies in between those two extremes. In 3 John and at verse 2 said, it's only one chapter. It said, I pray that in all respects that you may prosper and be in good health. That John is praying for those that he loved. And we pray daily for our family, for you, our congregation, for our nation, and for the globe. That's been new. I hadn't thought of that in as much in prior times. Think about, though, yeah, but what's going to happen? Well, it's going to spread for a while, and then it'll stop. In Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 11, he says, you know, the battle is not to the strong or the race to the swift, for time and chance happens to them all. And there is that, well, why does it happen? President Trump had lunch with the president from wherever that was, South America, Brazil, or Argentina, whatnot. And that guy tested positive and Trump didn't. That just because you come in contact with somebody doesn't mean you get it. Everybody knows little kids are the safest of them all. The old dinosaurs, it's a little more dicey, and we'll talk about that. But still, even there, not everybody gets it. Even if you're in the proximity of somebody that has it. But, you know, time and chance, that's in God's providence. Psalm 91, 5 and 6, you will not be afraid of the terror by night, or the arrow that flies by day, or of the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, or the destruction that lays waste at noon. The idea is, if you're in war, or you're in peace, you're in times of prosperity or adversity, you're under the protection of God. That doesn't mean a Christian can't get cancer. Or we've seen in this past year that you can't be in your own apartment and be shot, or be in a church building and be shot. All right? But generally, God's watching over us all. Psalm 34 and verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fears him and rescues them. That's our promise, and that's our security, that God wants to keep us safe. And so you don't have to panic. You don't, man, what am I going to do? Well, and we'll note some of the statistics that generally people are fine. Now, sometimes they do succumb, and we'll talk about that. But God said, I care about you, I'm watching over you, and you don't have to panic. Because, yeah, but people are getting sick. I know this is news. People have always been getting sick. The Apostle Paul got sick. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 13, he says to the Galatians, because of a bodily illness, I preached the gospel to you the first time. And to Corinth, he talks about how he has a thorn in the flesh. He has some kind of bodily infirmity. He said, and I prayed three times that it might depart from me. I was talking to Jim. Jim, how long you had a cold? How long has it been dragging on for you? Yeah. Mine's maybe a month and a half, and Dusty about a week and a half, and it just is, and you have various kind of things. Jim Myers had cancer, and his immune system is wiped out, and so it's not good for him to be here, and some others. But it's not new in our generation. And he says to Timothy, 1 Timothy 5:23, no longer drink water exclusively, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailment. Timothy had a lot of health problems. And he, well, I just want to drink water. He said, no, there's not going to be a broad-based availability of really FDA-approved medicines. And so drink a little wine for your stomach's sake. Or Trophimus, he said, I left in Miletus sick. Epaphroditus, Philippians 2, 26 and following. He was longing for you all and was distressed because you heard that he was sick. Verse 27, for indeed he was sick to the point of death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me. So even in Bible times, they didn't, and this is an important point, they didn't use miraculous power just to be healthy. They did it to confirm the word of God. And so Paul was sick, Timothy was sick, Trophimus, Epaphroditus, and lots of others. I want you to think about this important point. Believers can be delivered from death, and Paul was delivered from the riot in Ephesus. But there's a time, and he gets jailed in Rome, but there is a time in 2 Timothy 4, 6, and 18, he says, now he's been re-imprisoned, and he realized he's not going to make it out. He says that the time of my departure has come, that his cup is going to be poured out, his blood will be poured out. But there's a crown waiting for me, and not for me only. Now, sometimes we get delivered from death. And sometimes it is by God's providence we're being delivered from other heartache and reversals in life. And we're delivered by death. There's both sides to that coin, and it's worth thinking about. Let's talk a little bit about our present health concerns and facts and myths about it. Because we're dealing now in a practical application of know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Is COVID-19, and Paul, why do you call it COVID-19? Well, that's actually the technical name, because we like to call it coronavirus, but there's actually already several coronaviruses out there. Just means as you look at the particular virus, it has these little bumps or dots on it, and then, you know, they say, well, it kind of looks like a crown, not much, but it does. So the question is COVID-19 the most dangerous virus that exists so far? And the answer is no. No, there's others far more dangerous. Ebola, but see, some are not as transmissible, but if you get it, it's extremely dangerous. Ebola had a 90% fatality rate. Marburg, that I had never heard about, maybe you have, had an 80% fatality rate. Avian flu, 70%. MERS, Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, 35% fatality rate. COVID-19, Depending. There's this kind of a spread. It goes from actually less than 2% up to about 7% fatality rate. Now, one thing I want to talk to you about numbers and statistics. Everywhere you look, somebody's going to have some other number. And there's some reasons for that. They say, well, what we're weighing is, sometimes, well, the average is. Well, averages for little kids, you know, it's like 1.5. It's hardly anything. And for seniors with heart problems and diabetes and COPD lung problems, well, it's much higher, 7%. But know the truth, and the truth will get you free. What appears to be our best sources, just for you to do your own research, is the CDC, that'll be for the U.S., and the WHO, the World Health Organization, globally. And so if you, well, where can I get? Well, this news commentator said this. Now it's a, well, I, you know, can't really decide on why they said it this way or not, but go to the best source you have to get your facts. Now, is COVID-19 the most dangerous there ever was? No. CDC estimates between October 1st and February 2nd that you had, if you just put it in the middle, 35,000 deaths from flu this year in a month's time. Well, why aren't the papers full of that? Well, it's always that way. We don't think anything about it anymore. Because what happens is, generally, it's old people with severely challenged immune systems, lungs, everything else, and they're 90 years old and they die and their lungs filled up with pneumonia. Why? Well, they got the flu and they weren't strong enough to fight it off. One of the things that is impressive, and again here you'll have various numbers, but from the World Health Organization last week, their estimate is between 290,000, so that's a little less than 300,000, so let's say from 300,000 to 650,000, let's round that to 600,000. Every year, 300,000 to 600,000 people die from the flu every year. We never talk about it. We've gotten startled because this is novel, it's new, and we don't really know what it'll do. But is it the most lethal thing that ever was? Oh, no. Man, you had things 2 years before my time, Spanish flu in 1918. Maybe a slight exaggeration. And things that were so incredibly lethal that you had, it's estimated for between, let's take better than that, let's take the bubonic plague. That was 5 years before me. That's in 1346 to 1352, somewhere in there. And they're just estimating between 100 and 200 million people died from that in a five-year period. It's just incredible. So this is dangerous, but so is flu. So treat it thoughtfully, but don't panic. Will I die if I'm diagnosed with the coronavirus? Not likely. You could. I could. The survival rate is about 93% worldwide. The problem is it's challenged if a person has a heart condition, COPD, some kind of lung condition. Your immune system is already challenged because of chemotherapy or something else. But no, it's fairly survivable. To the families that lose loved ones, your heart goes out to them. But it's not the most dangerous thing in the world. Do I need to buy a hazmat suit and a mask to stay protected? Now, I appreciate Dusty has a mask on because he has a cold and he's being thoughtful for others. But the reality is, what they say repeatedly is, wash your hands, sanitize, and don't touch your face. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Because I want to know, Doc, here I am, 9 million years old. Do I need to be tested? And I've had a cough for, I cough a little bit in the morning, a little bit in the evening, and that's about it. I take a anti-allergy pill, one in the morning, one at night. That's about it. I says, should I be tested for COVID-19? He said, no. He says, wash your hands, get plenty of vitamin C, get plenty of rest. You're doing the wise things that you do for anything. And I thought you would like to see this graphic that here is from China itself, where it began in the Wuhan province in 2 months rate. Look at, and whether in Wuhan or just outside the various regional sections for China, just from January 1st to 10th, the rate is just dropping. And so it's not like, wow, it got worse and worse and worse, it's going to take over the whole universe. Not necessarily. So what do you do, since knowing the truth and the truth makes you free? Guess what? Clean your hands, because that prevents disease and it saves lives. And we try to be thoughtful here, that we go through and the common areas that people would touch, we try to sanitize those. But the reality is, all you have to do, for the most part, to avoid coronavirus or the flu or anything else, quit putting your hands on your face like we do all the time. And my nose is itchy and I want to do right now. And so what do you do? Well, you wash your hands often. I told Glenda yesterday, my hands haven't been washed as often since I've been in the womb. I have never washed my hands as much. Dr. Oz says, every time you pass the sink, wash your hands. Well, I mean, that maybe is not practical, but often. And in hot water, if possible, and we'll tell why that is. But think about, biblically, didn't they fuss at Jesus for not washing his hands? Well, yeah, but they weren't talking about germs. Here's just the elders say, you shall wash your hands. But guess what? Didn't all our mothers tell us that? All right, go wash your hands before eating. And they say, if we would just wash our hands and not touch our face, we probably wouldn't be getting even the flu. Wow, isn't that impressive? So, well, as you already know, but you wash and you wash with soap, and for 20 seconds minimum. And Dr. Oz, I was watching him, he said, just like you do, around your fingernails and all. I don't know, years go by, 2.3 seconds, I'm done. And that was washing hands. I said, well, that's, yeah, better than what was, but that's really not the best. Now, here's another thing of interest, that it doesn't seem to matter whether you use bar soap or liquid pump soap. Both of them work, and we'll talk about why that is. But something we can think about is, after you wash your hands, that we dry them off, which is good, but some remaining bacteria could remain. Maybe it's not alive or won't be alive long. If you're using a cloth towel, change them more regularly, or paper towels, and then dispose of them. Well, here's the big question. Yeah, but what do I use to cleanse my hand? Well, you can use a disinfectant, and that does help. And they recommend generally between 50 and 95% alcohol that kills germs. And certain things kill some germs and not others. And so with corona, COVID-19, soap and hot water are called the gold standard. I said, you'd think, you know, you pay all this money for the special sanitizer stuff. The reality is, for COVID-19, now maybe for some other virus, you do something else, but in this one, it's soap and hot water. Well, why would that be? COVID-19, I did my own research on this. Just like your letters come generally encompassed in an envelope, cells have a cell wall and this and that. COVID-19, the particular thing on it has a lipid or a fat exterior. Guess what? Soap breaks down fat. And water then is used to wash that away. And then you think about the friction of rubbing your hands. That's also part of it. So as the fat casing is broken down, the hot water, because, you know, I don't do a whole lot of dishes, but I've learned a principle. Probably this is new to you women, but because I do a lot of scientific research. Hot water gets butter off knives better than cold water, right? Isn't that a new principle for you? And I thought, wow, look at that. And so think about it, for your own health, and of course, that all certainly just in humor, that since the outer casing is made of fat, you're breaking that down with soap, and then you're using the hot water to help it liquefy, and the friction then breaks the grip of that little virus on your hands, and you wash it away. And so it just helps give a reason why to do what we do. And here's a little graphic, like Superman. Here's like a hand up there. And it said, clean hands prevent disease and save lives. You say, Paul, have you ever preached a lesson in the middle of, here's a health lesson? Absolutely not. But this is going to be helpful because we're talking about knowing the truth, and the truth makes us free. One of the things they talk about is don't touch the T-zone. T-zone, of course, here's the band across our eyes and then the vertical for our nose or mouth. Because here's a really helpful thing to think about. Germs cannot hurt you unless they are what? Inside of you. How do they get inside of you? Well, there's two ways. Through the mucous membranes, that is, that soft tissue, that moist tissue in your eyes, your nose, or your mouth. And cuts in your skin. And so, why is that important? Because you're not going to get it if it doesn't get in you. Yeah, but I touch my face. Guess what? Everybody touches their face. But what is surprising, and I just chose these different pictures because of, here's one guy, he's just holding, and I do the same thing. I have my, supporting my chin and my fingers, oh, they're right at my mouth. Or we're touching our nose or rubbing our nose, or my eyes are, you know, kind of scratchy, or my nose is itchy, or what? So we're always touching our face. In fact, they have estimated, and I've tried to time myself, I don't quite do this much, but one of the ways to minimize touching your face, I don't know that we'll do away with it, but if you have generally clean hands, that's going to help tons. If you're aware, don't touch your face and put the germs up there where you don't want them anyhow. It is estimated that people touch their face twice a minute. Actually, it's a little more, every 20 seconds. So I started, as a week ago, I started timing myself, and I didn't do it on purpose. And I'm just writing along on my computer, and write that down. And I'm going along, and, you know, my eyebrows itchy and whatnot. And so sometimes it would be 5 minutes between times I touched my face. And then it was within 1 second, I did it three times. And so it just is. Well, if that number of even twice a minute times 60 minutes, and 120 times an hour I'm touching my face, and 10 hours in a day, 1,200 times I'm transferring germs to my face. I thought, now how am I not going to do that? Well, I don't know that I'll be impervious to it. But one of the things you can do is, if you're really itchy and you got a tissue, take out the tissue and provide it's a clean tissue. So on my desk, I've never in my life had a box of tissues on my desk. I do now. I can never remember before now having a little bottle of hand sanitizer on my desk. I do now. For some individuals, if you wear glasses, I have glasses. it's helpful if I wear glasses and I don't wear glasses. Why? That's a bother because they're bifocal. I can look up and down. But if you find yourself touching your eyes, maybe you want to wear glasses or even just clear glass. Wear gloves. Here's the thing, that if you're already healthy, wearing a mask doesn't seem to help a whole lot because the little virus can penetrate the mask. Certainly if you're ill, you do. Wearing gloves is problematic, but here's how I like to wear them. And I only wear them sometimes. If I'm going out to Costco and I'm going to be touching everything, I'll put them on and then you take them off either before you get in the car or after you get home, however you want to do that. But sometimes I wear them at home. Why? Because I'm repeatedly, see now the end of my nose tickles a little bit. Maybe because you think about it and just every part of me starts tickling. But I'll wear gloves. I have some rubber gloves. They're nitrile. And like Jim and I would use them for mechanics work. They're nice. They fit tightly, look really cool. I feel like Batman. And every time I raise my hand up, I say, well, wait a minute, I shouldn't be touching my face. And so even that doesn't totally eliminate it, but it helps. You're just doing things that seem to help for you. In the winter, I tend to be an oily person. I tend to get really, I dry more, and I get really itchy. My face itches, my shins itch. So you can put a little conditioner on if there's a problem. All right, a couple more things, and then we're going to get off this. Maybe you've heard about flattening the curve. This is a big deal. And the source is the CDC. You know, it's not Billy Bob made it up last night. In this graphic, you see this high rise, this big towering pinnacle of coronavirus outbreak. But as you look down in the lower third of this picture, there's a dotted line and a little hospital here with a full sign on it. That is healthcare capacity. And here's an important principle. If you have the daily number of cases, and they're on the rise going here, so this shows the top of the pinnacle, then this particular spire shows what happens if you don't do anything proactively. Just, okay, man, it shoots up there, and then after a while you get to a point where everybody is going to get it, gets it, and either you're immune to it and you won't get it, or you had it and it's not going to hit you maybe that time, or you died from it, but you'll gradually get some kind of a bell curve where it'll flatten out. But the problem is, look what happens if you don't do anything. The first third comes up to healthcare system capacity, and the next two-thirds or three-quarters, whatever that is beyond hospitals' capacity to help anybody. And so if you can delay the peak of the outbreak and reduce the level of outbreak, what happens is you may have, by taking some proactive measures, the same amount of cases, but you've spread them out further so that the people that get sick will be able and that are critically ill can actually get into a hospital and be treated. So us doing proactive things, like we make special precautions and thoughtful things of even preparing the Lord's Supper, of passing it out and how you can get it, helping you all be safe. And I have never in my life wanted people to be spread out in an auditorium. I've always liked everybody together. Hey, let's hug. And now they say 6 foot distance while you're protecting everybody. And it may not be you. You may be one, your system is great, but you pick it up from somebody and touch something that somebody else touches that doesn't have good capacity. CDC says, and the WHO World Health Organization, says something like, avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth, says Dr. William Sawyer, a family physician from Sharonville, Ohio, and creator of Henry the Hand that we showed with the Superman suit on, showing, which promotes hand and face hygiene. He said the advice should be absolutely do not touch them. But some people say, hey, I'm okay. Well, Proverbs 9 and verse 12, if you are wise, you're wise for yourself. We're not making any rules here. We're just saying, here's what an individual says is really the truth. You want to be healthy, keep those you love healthy, and even those you don't know healthy. Do certain things that are wise. and bless others. And so think about this. Well, man, there's a run on necessities. Well, the reality is there's no need to panic. You don't have to hoard. Just prepare in a wise way. In Luke 14, 28, it said, whoever wants to build a tower, let him first sit down and count the cost. Well, do you have enough money to buy the supplies? Do you have some place to put the supplies that you have? If you bought them and put them someplace, are they going to mold, mildew, or get ruined somehow in the process? Well, just make good plans. What they say is, if you buy a week's worth of groceries, buy two, and you'll probably be all right. But I want to tell you something else, Christians. Even if you run out, you're still all right. We got your back. We're going to take care of you. You're not going to say, man, I'm stuck. There's no food. We're dying. Say, hey, too bad. I don't get close to anybody who's got the bug. That we can shop. We can deliver for you if you're quarantined. You're going to be all right. We care about you. Just a little side note here, talked to our family in Colorado, daughter Jenny, and it wasn't a coronavirus thing here. Our grandson, some cap on a tooth fell off, and is 9 years old, I think, in misery and whatnot, can't eat and in pain and all this, and called the doctor, can you come in on Saturday? It's like, well, doctor, I can do that, and I can fix the tooth, but it's going to cost you extra, you realize, because that's my day off. And I'm coming in on Saturday, so there's travel. He said, well, okay. He said, and what it's going to cost you is an extra canister of hand sanitizer and and some handy wipes kind of thing. Just a great attitude. And so we're going to help you help yourselves. Let us know if you can help. In fact, one of the things, if you, and I'd like Rocky to be our point man on this, if you say, you know what, we want to keep, and we do, after services, we clean the building for pressure points, the pads, the handles, the backs of pews and such as this. We do that just to help everybody be as healthy as we know how. If you say, you know, I can help a little bit, see Rocky. And Rocky, I tell you, I'm your first volunteer this morning. I'm willing to help however you need me. If you say, I'm willing to do some of that, or if you need help, sometimes people say, man, I was so sick and nobody came. Guess what? My mind reading capacity is on the fritz. I just can't do that. And so send for the elders. Let us know what help you need. And think about this. I may not be able to get you T-bone steak. It may be bacon and beans, but you won't starve. Matthew 6:25 says, do not be anxious for what you shall eat or what your life or what you shall put on. And churches are doing different things in the community. Some churches, and I surveyed a bunch of them, 10, 12 of them. Some are doing absolutely nothing. Business as usual, just come on. Nothing. I said, whoa, that's a little bit more casual than I would. Some cancel everything and have closed their doors and said, we'll check on a week-by-week basis. Some, and maybe most that I've come across, cancel most of the things they do, have Sunday morning Bible study, and that's it. I said, wow. Maybe thoughtful, and maybe if things go really difficult, you may need to get there. But the reality is we're going to continue to weigh wise steps and try to do the things that are best for you and your family. Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I got 1 minute. I'm going to wrap up with just this last thing. And as the third of three. And so we've looked at crooks. We've looked at germs. And we'll look at the Bible and kooks, and then the lesson will be yours. What is truth? Well, it just means that which conforms to reality. In John 17:17, Jesus said, know the truth. John 8:32, know the truth will make you free. John 17:17, sanctify them in thy word, sanctify them in thy truth, thy word is truth. And so John 8:32 is know the truth. 18:37 of John said, I've come into the world to bear witness of the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And Pilate said, what is truth? Well, here's the political, you know, backdoor dealing kind of, I never know what the facts are. Well, think about that. If there is something true, there almost always is something that's counterfeit. You can get fake Rolex watches, all kinds of computer software, prescriptions, paintings, currency, upscale clothing, perfumes, cosmetics, popular electronics. 2 Corinthians 11:14, he said, there are false apostles. Matthew 24:24, there are false Christs. I'm going to just pick one interesting religion, and it has an application to our current health situation. Mary Baker Eddy, in her book, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, that I have, but I thought rather than bring the book in, you can't read the text from 50 feet away anyhow. In the opening page, the title page, she quotes John 8:32 that we've mentioned 5 times this morning. Know the truth and the truth will make you free. Great. And the very next quote she says, and there is nothing good or bad, quoting Shakespeare, but thinking makes it so. You go, Wait a minute, I don't know that that's a true statement. No, it's not a true statement. And here's a picture of one of her book covers, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. I am going to give you a couple of quotes and a slide or two, and then we're done. My comment on it, it's an absurd conclusion regarding matter. On page 468, and the numbers after that, and she has her numbers of the page lined, on lines 9 through 10, says there is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is mind. Wait a minute. Paul, maybe you're wrong. You're misquoting her, because matter is like this pulpit, the computer, and me and you. She must mean something else. Well, maybe so, but page 591, lines 8 through 15, she says, matter is mythology. It's illusion. Wow, that which is mortal mind sees, feels, hears, tastes, and smells only in belief. Do you realize, Dusty, I hate to break it to you, you think you got a cold and you got a mask on. See, if you were a Christian Scientist, if you get your mind right, you realize you don't have a cold. And that's right, it's right here. Because, there's the problem. You think you got a head. You don't have a body, Dusty. You don't have a mask on. I'm breaking to all the rest of us. We don't have bodies, and the pew you're sitting in isn't a pew. It's just mind. You're taught that there are such things, but you are taught lies. You think you're in a building. You're not. There is no building. Matter is an utter illusion, and that's why you don't have to worry about the coronavirus. You don't have any viruses because you don't have any bodies. You say, Paul, you're making this up. I am not making it up. Not only that, it's the absolute opposite of what the Bible says. John 1:1 said, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we've beheld, that is, we looked at closely and our hands handled. I mean, we touched Jesus. We knew him. We talked with him. Well, what about death? She says on page 484, lines 9 through 11, death is an illusion, the unreal, the untrue. Matter has no life, so it has no real existence. But unfortunately, it doesn't work very well for Christian Scientists who also die. And they'll say, page 283, 8 through 11, sin, sickness, and death are not facts, but illusions. So, sing and be happy. You don't have to worry about getting sick. You don't have a body to get sick with. You know, oh, my goodness. But it goes on from that. She'll say on page 361, line 12, Jesus Christ isn't God. And the reality is, page 25, line 6 through 9, that his blood is not efficacious. It doesn't do any good.
Yeah. So really the reality is God is in heaven. His word is true, and we're his children. And so what would you say, Paul? I'd say to this congregation, be strong and courageous and do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua 1 and verse 9, be steadfast and unmovable. My last slide from Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 and following, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. God bless Christians. Have a great week. We'll be, if you want to be here, we'll have worship here tonight. And we just try to make everybody safe. We're going to have an invitation song. Mike, that number again is? 380. How many verses in that?
We're going to say verses 1, 2, and 6.
All right. And so let's be standing. And if you say, you know, I'd like the prayers of the congregation, I want to be baptized, we can make that happen. Mike, why don't you come and lead us in song?